And I trust. I set it to. Yeah. I trust that.
Just put it on my lap.
Yeah, speakerphones.
Okay, so you can't have
that. Okay, let's quiet down, please. Thank you. I trust that everybody's had a good week, and I trust that you all have been enjoying what Brother Wade's been bringing out about Romans.
Yes.
I think it's very good, you know.
Yep.
You might say, well, we're doing a lot of reading. Well, that's what we're here for, right?
Right.
It's the Word that takes preeminence, right?
Amen.
But I've always liked that, going verse by verse and taking, even Brother Branham did that. He did that all the time. That was the way he taught, was just going verse by verse and just staying on a verse, even two services. But then you keep going. Yeah. Brother, you said he even kept Brother Job on the ash heap for a while, you know, until somebody got tired. Anyways, we're going to go ahead and I've just been thinking about this little thought here. Been thinking about the thought of a hidden life in Christ, or the hidden life of Christ in the believer.
Yes.
And the reason why I was thinking about this was something that I heard a couple of months ago, Brother Dale brought out, and he was talking about how in the ages, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the locust, all the different worms, the bugs, had eaten down the Word, right? Throughout the ages.
Right.
But what they could not eat down was the root.
Correct. Right.
And I thought, and that really stood out to me, because I've never saw it that way before. And I believe even Brother Branham taught the same thing. Because what the devil and the religious systems, the outside systems, the outside forces can do, they can kill the influence of the Word in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
They can kill just like Satan and the religious systems when Jesus was here on earth of that day. They were able to kill the flesh body of Jesus Christ, right?
Right.
But they could not kill that life. Right?
Right,
that life was hidden. I mean, that they couldn't even understand that life, right?
Right.
So therefore, with the religious systems of our day and the different nominal ideas throughout different ages, were killing the influence of the Word in the believer's life because of the way they were hiding the Word more and more from the people. We know that the Catholic Church they did that. You know. The only ones that could have a Bible or even open it to read it were just the priests. And they would read it to them in Latin.
Yeah.
And so, and the people wouldn't even really understand. So that influence was being killed. But still, did not mean that new births were not taking place.
Right.
There were still new births taking place for the Word that they had for their day. Right?
Exactly.
There were births in the Word that they had for their day. So the life of the Word was not killed. That's the reason why Jesus Christ, I mean, He resurrected, because that life was there, right? And that's why He said, I will restore, thus saith the Lord. So that life was coming back up because they could not take out the root. That's where the life is, because that root is anchored. And, you know, you look down at a tree, and the roots, especially when they're extended, I mean, there's no way, especially if it's hooked in into a river source, right? And I believe it was David that talked about when a tree that's planted by the waters, you know, it's always got the source of life right there. And so that got me to thinking, you know, and I preached a message a couple of months ago about when God saw the light. When we looked at Genesis chapter 1, and if we want to look, let's just look there real quick, and we'll put it in Genesis chapter 1. Here. Genesis 1. Bob, why don't you read Genesis 1?
From the first verse?
Yeah, from the first verse.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. How far do you want me to go?
Just keep going.
And God said, let there be light, and there was light.
Right there. All right. So, God said, let there be light, and there was light, right? And when we look up that word light, amen. I like this meaning right there. It says, the light of life, right? So that was God's life. Amen. That light that it was talking about. We know it's not the sun. We know it's not the moon, because later down in several verses later, we see where God created the moon, the stars, and the sun, right? So that is the life that I want to discuss this morning. Amen. And I guess if I give this a little title, it'd be the hidden life of Christ in the believer. So let's look at these scriptures here. I don't have anything here organized, so you all forgive me. I've just been looking through some things, kind of preparing a full message. So I don't have a slide PowerPoint presentation or anything. So you all just bear with me. But let's read here in Colossians chapter 3. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God.
Right.
Amen?
Yes. Right.
When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear. Now, I like what it says there. When Christ, who is our life,
right,
shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory.
Yes.
Amen. So for the believer, it's not that we just have, amen. When we have Christ, we have the true life of God, right?
Yes.
And same thing when we just saw in Genesis chapter 1, that light, amen, was the life of God.
Right.
It's what makes up the believer when you're born into the kingdom of God, amen. You have the life of Christ,
right.
Amen. And it's no longer you living, but it's Christ living through you. Amen. In you, right?
That's right.
All right. So, so let's read this. Let's read here in Ephesians chapter 3. It says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to your word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, right? Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Amen. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So this life was a mystery throughout ages, right? Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning, all right, and to make all men to see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So this mystery has been hid in God from the beginning.
Right.
And now it's been revealed unto us. Right?
Amen.
So saints, you and I are privileged people in this hour.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
To have this mystery have been revealed, not just to you and me, but through you and me.
That's right.
Because it's hid, it's attached to the life of Christ, right? To the intent, let's see where we are. To the intent, well, that's verse 9. To make all men see what is fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him.
Yes.
We didn't have boldness and confidence before. We were scared. When I was young and I would hear about if I did something wrong, I thought Christ or God was going to send down the lightning bolt any moment. But now we don't see God that way.
Right.
Right? At least you shouldn't. You shouldn't. If you still see God that way, you know, then you need to grow in God, you know? You need to get closer, you know, have a personal relationship in God, because he wants you. Just like as Paul says here in verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. And in Hebrews it talks about us entering into his sanctuary with boldness,
right,
and confidence, right?
Because
that's how we need to approach God.
Yes.
God, you said it in your word, I believe it, that settles it.
That's right.
That's right.
That's what he wants you and me to do. But sometimes the way we approach God is we approach him like this.
God, if you want to, it's alright.
But that's not the way we approach God. We approach him with boldness, taking his word. What God loves for us to take his word back to him.
Amen.
Because that's the only thing he reads. That's the only thing he will back up is his own word.
Right.
Not your thoughts.
That's right.
Not your own thinking, but his own word. And so if that word has given you confidence and boldness, and you approach God with that boldness that you've received through the word to him, he has to do nothing but answer whatever you have need of. Amen? So in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith of him, wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations, for which is your glory. Amen. Praise God. Now, so I was thinking about the, and I will read another scripture here in just a moment, but let me see if I could bring this quote that Brother Brennan. You know what, saints? I actually read a whole message last night. Started at the beginning and ended it the same night. I usually don't do that. It takes me several days to. But last night, I was just looking at this Hidden Life in Christ message, and I'm like, wow, this thing's really good. But Brother Brown says here, it says, my burdens are light, yoke up with him, the yoke is all padded with hallelujahs. When you're once inside the veil with him, he becomes your life. The prophet said that in the people of the old days said he would write his laws anew. He would put them in their heart. Now, Mount Sinai was a place of duty, but Mount Calvary was a place of grace. People are still trying to live on Mount Sinai, you know, with the do's and don'ts, the law, right?
Yes.
But they don't see about the grace of Christ that has come down. We're living in a dispensation of grace.
Yes, sir.
Right?
That's
right. Where that, and that's what Brother Brown was talking about, Mount Calvary, mm-hmm. right? People are still trying to live on Mount Sinai. If I'll go to church, if I'll pay my dues, if I'll do this or that, if I'll quit this and stop that, that's still on Mount Sinai.
Right.
When you come to a place where you are dead and your life is hid in God through Christ, sealed by the Holy Ghost, the whole Christian life becomes a great, glorious shout and hallelujah to you. And you're hid away daily. That's key. Not every now and then, but you're hid away daily, on a daily basis. Now, we notice that once in there, he was isolated from, once the believer was in there, or the person was in there, the priest in that time, he was isolated from the world. The curtains dropped around him, and he was hid away with God. Everything become real. Even though he knew that he had to do these things, he knew the law, he knew the but it wasn't really a real thing until he was behind the behind that veil, right. The Holy of Holies. Right? Now I'll get to that in just a moment. A glory. In this place where we once get hid away with Christ, everything becomes a new thing to us then.
That's right.
Yes. That's the reason why I don't see why people get bored with the Word.
Right.
You know? I can understand nominal people who they don't know what to preach and they don't know what else to look at, so they'll just kind of rehash. It's kind of like the world, you know. They don't know what other movie to come out with, so they'll just rehash something that came out in the 70s and just add new effects to it. Computer effects. And unfortunately, to some people, I say even people who know that God sent a prophet in this day, they've gotten to a stagnant place in their life where the Word doesn't even do anything for them anymore.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
It's not a new thing
right.
to us anymore.
That's right.
And the reason why is because we don't go in behind the inner veil.
That's right.
You see? It's okay that we are out in the outer court, right? And I have a picture here of the tabernacle, right? It's alright that we have the outer court. And you know what? When the manna would fall, the manna fell on the outer court, the manna fell outside of the tabernacle, right? Because the people were living outside of the tabernacle.
That's right.
So the Word, and then you know that manna represented the Word. But they would get nourished and they would get that manna every single morning afresh.
That's right.
And remember that God told them not to eat that manna that same day. Don't let it go throughout don't let it get old. Don't let it go throughout the day, because by nighttime, evening time, it was old. It was already getting worms and everything like that. That's the reason why the manna that we eat, the Word of God, is not to be stored head knowledge.
Right.
It's to be eaten.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
That's what God wants us to do, is eat the Word.
Right.
Not to just to have it as head knowledge, because as head knowledge, it's not going to do you any good after a while.
That's right.
It's going to get old. It's going to get stinky. It's going to get wiggle tails. Mm-hmm. It's not going to produce the life of Christ.
Right.
Right? But when the Israelites, when that manna would fall fresh, they'd go out and gather it every morning. Meaning that every day, every morning, you should be seeking God.
Amen.
Every day. It should be you and God afresh. Every single day, right?
Yes.
And every morning they would come out and get that manna, and they would have to eat it right away in order for to strengthen them for the day.
Right?
Same thing with us. Amen. Every time you get that Word and you receive it and you eat it, amen, it's for the strength that God has for you for the time that you are sitting at. Right?
That's right.
Don't give me that. I believe God gives us food in due season, because that's what the Bible says.
Yes.
Brother Brown taught that. He gives us food in due season. He gives us food, exactly the exact food that we need for the time that we need it for. You know, my wife, she talks about, man, it's hot.
Yes,
sorry. That's fine. If you all want it on, that's fine. Thank you, Sister Gwen. flesh. Now, my wife, she's mentioned to me before that during the time that we started, I mean, I've known you all, you know, it was like early 2000s. But then we didn't really start coming here to church till around towards the end, latter part of 2014. And of course, God knew that we needed this type of preaching. We needed this type of word. Yes. Right? And it was a couple of months down the road after we started visiting here that we started seeing that my mother-in-law, she was getting sick. Right? She was getting sick and things were getting bad with her, you know, and eventually, you know, she went on to be with the Lord. But during this time, Christine, my wife, she tells me that Brother Dale and the minister here would bring out preachings about what it is about to be on the other side, you know, the past beyond the curtain of time and all those things to bring a further understanding than what she had at that time, which helped her when it came time, because God knew that her mom was going to go away. And so it gave her more confidence, more comfort when my mother-in-law passed away, that she knew that everything was okay, you know? Everything was fine, you know? She had, I mean, we all know, we've read the testimony that Brother Brown talked about, going beyond the curtain of time, but sometimes it's just here, you know? But then when you actually look at things in a more deeper way and looking at it in the Bible studies and things like that, looking at those things, it really solidifies your thinking about those things and really builds confidence in you. Right? And that's the reason why when you have confidence in the Word and when you have confidence in your where you know where you're standing in Jesus Christ, that's why you can approach Him with boldness and confidence, right? Because that Word has given you, it's been revealed to you, right? And when something is revealed to you, no devil in hell can take that away from you.
That's right.
Right? No, Satan can't take that away from you because it's there and it won't move. It won't shake. Yes, it's the truth.
You know, what I've noticed that when you see the chaos in the world and we know that the rapture is imminent, what's our pastor preaching? The stature of the perfect man.
Right.
Because it's the perfect man that's going to make that rapture, that change.
Absolutely. That's the one that's going to make the who has made Christ their head. He's the perfect man, right?
Yes.
And when that perfect man, that life of that perfect man is in you, you're perfect. Because it's not that we all have these virtues already in us.
Yes.
The only thing that's going to, they have to manifest on the outside, right?
Right.
But the only way that can manifest on the outside is if you keep feeding on that body, on that life, right? And they just won't manifest on the outside just on their own, right? You have to keep eating. So I always look at the stature of a perfect man, and I was going to get into that, and I appreciate you mentioning that. It's true. Because, you know, just as in the tabernacle, you know, you were walking towards the holies of holies. That's the head right there, right? That's the glory of God right there. You're also walking into that. That's the head right there, right? Christ is our head.
Right.
That's all in all right there.
Yes.
And so, going back to the manna. So in that manna, it was told by to Moses to take some of that manna, that original manna, and to put it in that Holy of Holies, right? Now, if that manna on the outside, it would get old, it would get stinky, it would get worms. But the manna, which represents the Word, it was placed in a golden pot, the Bible says. And we know that Christ is always typed with gold, you know? So it was placed in a golden vessel. And every time the priest would go back in there, he could take some of that manna, and it would always taste the same. It actually would always be new. Right? But out here on the outside, They would get wiggle tails. They would get old. Alright? So, and so a lot of people, you know, the way I see it, nominal people, even people who have even gotten to know this message, know that God sent a prophet, they're still sometimes stuck in justification and sanctification. Right?
Yeah.
And then some have come further a bit more, right? Gotten into the Word more. And of course we know that they're here, they're all about the mysteries and all about, they're getting in the Word a bit more. Amen. But there's something, amen, that they haven't gotten to where that life of Christ, because this here can just be all head knowledge.
Right.
You see? You can see the lampstand. You can know what the lampstand's about. You can know what the church ages is about, right? The sinner out here could probably know what the church ages is about, right? They can even know about baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by head knowledge. But the thing is that if you go and do it, that's when you know that it's been revealed to you, right? They can know about the table of showbread. They see, they pray. The golden incense altar is a type of the prayers.
Yes.
They pray. But they just can't seem to get in there, amen, with that Shekinah glory of God. Why? Because they haven't come in. There's something that's hindering them from furthering themselves in the Word. Mm-hmm. I'm happy where I am. I'm happy out here. I'm happy with God sent a prophet. I'm happy with justification, sanctification. Amen. But God is only going to reveal Himself to you the further that you go with Him, right? He never pulls us by the hand and says, "You're coming in here." No, He's a gentleman. That's what I like about God, right? So that gold, that manna, so the priest could always partake of that manna every time he dove. And another thing is Aaron's rod was in there. We know that humanity, or wood in the Bible, types humanity. Right? That rod under Aaron's hands, it'd get old, it was dry, it was... But when once it was placed in the Shekinah glory of God, in the Holy of Holies, it started livening it up again. It even budded. Because you say, well, that rod or that stick wasn't attached to no tree, but yet it was. It was attached to a life. A life which is the root, right? Remember we talked about the Genesis 1, amen, that light, right? So it was attached to the life, the source. Even though there wasn't no physical tree that it was attached to, it was growing almonds and things. You see? So everything out here is everything that you can do to approach God. Right? So what you have to do to approach God, and that in itself, that's religion. Religion is what man does to try to get close to God. Christianity, or the life of the believer, is what God does to try to grow closer to man. Right? But then when you come in here behind this veil, everything is about God then. Nothing that you can do. Why? Because you didn't make that rod bud. You didn't make that, that manna stay fresh and anew. No, it stays like that. And all you have to do is partake of it. Is partake of it. And admire. And we know that also between the cherubs that were there on the tabernacle or the ark, we know that there was even a glow of light that would come down. Right? So it was all about representing life and light. And so when you go in behind there, everything is anew to you then. So whenever whenever you're when the believer receives the new birth in his life, in their soul, that's as if you're in there.
That's right.
That's the eternal, that's God Himself right there in the believer. And of course we know that the priest couldn't stay there forever. They had to eventually come back out. The process that you keep repeating, right? The process that you keep going in and out. Well, eventually, I think we, me and Brother Bob, was talking about the other day, eventually one day we'll always be in there. Amen. And, you know, coming out, right? Perfection at its finest, right? Praise God. So, I wanted to read this real quick and then we'll shut her down. In Colossians chapter 2. Alright. Let's start at verse 5 here. It says, For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joining and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Alright, so we can continue reading, but talks about the uncircumcision, the circumcision of the Spirit and all that. And the other night I was reading with this with the girls here in Proverbs chapter 27. And we came up this verse right here. It says, verse 7 right here, it says, the full soul loatheth in honeycomb. That means a person that's full doesn't want to eat anymore, right? You know, and I looked at a little bit of history on that. And it was, as travelers were traveling, they would be maybe eating some things on their way, and they'd come to like a honeycomb on their travels. They wouldn't want any of that because they were already full, right? Mm-hmm. Just like if you keep snacking all day long, you know, you don't want to eat dinner at night, you know. But to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. But to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Mm-hmm. Now you remember that in the Old Testament when the children of Israel were getting to leave Egypt, they had to eat the lamb. Bitter herbs were added into it. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing when we're walking in this way. Bitter herbs are gonna. Bitter things are going to happen, amen, in our lives, right? But to the hungry soul, that should be the believer, amen, right? Every bitter thing is sweet. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's happening, no matter the chaos, everything, it can be falling all around you. But when I'm in Christ, when I'm hidden behind that veil, everything is sweet. No matter that priest was in there behind the inner veil, it doesn't matter what was happening on the outside. They were slaying lambs and killing blood and things going or splattering everywhere. The world was taking place. All kinds of things was taking place. Mm-hmm. But while you're in there in that inner veil, none of that was affecting you.
That's right.
Because you were in the presence of God. Right? And the reason why I say that is because the world is going its course, right? There's lots of killing, there's lots of chaos, there's lots of things taking place in our day. But when your life is hid in Christ, when you have that life of Christ and you're in that glory, none of that is bothering you. So, to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. That's why that's the reason why in Revelation, Jesus, the angel, told John, I believe it was the angel, told John, said, eat the book.
Right?
When you eat it, it's going to be sweet. but then it'll be bitter to your belly, right? That's the life of a Christian. You got sweet moments and you have bitter moments, but you know how to balance it. You know how to balance it when you're in Christ. Amen. So I guess we can go up now. So thank you all for listening.